Chapter number 6, Romans chapter number 6 this morning. Let me just say this, we had a wonderful time at Pleasure Island Bible Camp last week with the junior age children. I believe there was almost 70 children there, along with 30 or 40 workers, so we pushed over 100 at Bible Camp. It was a wonderful time. I don't have the exact numbers, but just thinking back through people that went forward, I think at least 10 people were trusted in Christ as their Savior. One girl was called into full-time missions. Then we had two rededications of young people, and then as well we had two reassurances that had come forward and just need to be reassured in their salvation, their faith in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful week. God gave us great weather, typically because where we live at, the camp is located between two mountains in a valley, that oftentimes we get a pop-up thunder shower once or twice during the week, and we went the whole week without really any significant rain, except for the night we were going to have one campfire on Thursday evening. It began raining just a little bit during the preaching service, and then God dried that up enough for us to be able to have the campfire, which the young people really enjoy. And then just as we got them back to the cabin, thunder and lightning and rain came, but joy came in the morning. When I got up in the morning to get a shower and get ready for the day and make the coffee, sunshine was out. We had beautiful weather. God blessed. It was hot, extremely hot one day. The rest was hot, but not as hot as it was here. The wind, because of the valley, kind of blew a little bit. It was a real blessing. Had a wonderful time. So you pray for us as we head back. We'll be meeting here at the church 7 o'clock, taking some teenagers down for Teen Week at Pleasure Island Bible Camp. And so you pray for us, and you pray for those young people as they get away from the world and the phones and the internet and Facebook and Instagram, whatever else young people use today. And we'll lock those phones up for a total of 5 days and watch them go through withdrawal systems. And then we'll let God insert the Holy Spirit into their life. Amen. Well, so you pray for us, and we'll continue to pray for you. Every believer has at least one critical weapon in their Christian arsenal, and the weapon I'm referring to is not the Word of God. You may be thinking, well, Pastor, you've gone liberal. I'm very surprised by the answer that you just gave us for that. Understand this, that the Word of God is without a doubt the most crucial weapon that we have for every believer. But understand this, not every believer has a copy of God's infallible, inspired, preserved Word of God in their own language. There are millions of people all across this world that don't have God's Word translated into their language. And how sad that is, but yet it's still a truth that we live with today. And please don't take this as an endorsement from your pastor not to read the Word of God, not to study the Word of God, not to heed the Word of God. I'm not saying that at all. As a matter of fact, the Word of God is essential for every believer's life. While some Christians may go without their own copy of God's Word in their own language, believe me this and understand this, no Christian will ever go without the Holy Spirit indwelling every believer. That is, if you're truly saved and born again. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit indwells us or inhabits us as well. And it's the Holy Spirit that enables Christians to both do and be all that God desires for them to be. The Holy Spirit makes it makes the impossible in us become the possible with us. You see, that's how important the Holy Spirit of God is. And as powerful as the Holy Spirit is, there is one requirement for a Christian to receive the benefits of the Holy Spirit. And it's simply this. A Christian must yield themselves to the Holy Spirit before he can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. I want to repeat that because it's that important. A Christian must yield themselves to the Holy Spirit before they can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And without this yielding to the Holy Spirit of God, a Christian really limits his greatest strength. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Your failing to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit of God can be compared to someone that has a driver's license. They have a driver's license. They're able to drive. They drive down the road, but they ignore every road sign, every stoplight, every traffic signal. They just ignore it. So in other words, your failure to yield your life to the Holy Spirit means this, that you have all the tools to live this Christian life, just like that driver has all the tools to drive. But your failure to yield yourself to the instruction, you become a liability to yourself and other people as well. And this morning, I'd like us to look for a few moments at the importance and the power of yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God in your life. So let's stand this morning as we give respect to the reading of God's Word in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 13, verse 11 through 13. And then we'll pray as we think on this thought of yielding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit. Notice that Romans 6, beginning in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could be here this morning. We thank you for this tremendous verse in verse number 13 that speaks about yielding our members as members of righteousness, yielding ourselves unto God. So, Father, I pray this morning as we would think on this thought of yielding to the Holy Spirit today, your children, those that are saved and born again, would understand, Father, that this is where their power comes from. It's not from their flesh. It's not from the world. Father, it comes from the Holy Spirit of God. So, Father, I pray that your people would begin understanding this power of yielding themselves to the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I pray that you'll bless this time. Save that one that could possibly be here today that does not know Christ as their own personal Savior. We pray and ask, Lord, that they might be gloriously saved and born again into God's family. So, Father, we pray and ask these things this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. So as we think about yielding ourselves to God and yielding ourselves to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God, understand this, first of all, this yielding requires us, number one, to hear the Holy Spirit, to hear the Holy Spirit. We can only yield to the Spirit as we listen for His voice. A person that will not hear will never yield to the direction or the request of another person's voice, whether it be a mom, dad, a boss, co-worker, or nonetheless the Holy Spirit of God. So I know what you're thinking. So how do we hear this voice, Pastor Carol? Well, there are many things that are demanding our attention, and all of them really think that they're worthy of our time that we find in this world today. And some of those voices even believe and want you to understand and know what is best for them today. And to be honest, it can be a little bit confusing listening to all the voices that comes into our minds every day. So we have to learn to become hearers, literally, of the right voice. You say, well, what is the right voice? And for us to do that, we're going to have to take some effort. We have to take some determination, especially in the world and the flesh that you and I live in. And there's something that we have to do. We're to completely operate in God's power and presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. So listen, if you want to operate in His power, if you want to operate in His presence, it's going to take effort and determination. You're going to have to completely yield yourself to Him. You say, that's great, Pastor Carol. How are you going to do that? Well, notice, first of all, we do that by, number one, turning off competing voices. Turning off competing voices. When learning to listen to the Holy Spirit, the first step is to get rid of those voices that really try to crowd out the Holy Spirit's voice. The Holy Spirit works through a small, still voice. The Holy Spirit isn't a screamer like your mom or your dad or your neighbor or your friend. The Holy Spirit is a small, still voice. He's a whisperer. Keep your finger there, but turn back in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19. You understand that the Holy Spirit is not a screamer. He's a whisperer. 1 Kings 19. Look in verse number 9. For, of course, the background to this story is we have Elijah has escaped from Jezebel, and he's hiding himself in a cave. 1 Kings 19. Look at verse number 9, and we'll read down through verse 13. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they that seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain, and brake in places the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And afterwards the wind and earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small, still voice. So you see here in this passage of Scripture, do you notice how the Lord had came to Elijah? It could have come from many of the obvious forms. It could have came by the wind. The Bible said it could have came by the earthquake, and you and I probably thought it would have came by the fire, but instead the Bible said he came in a small, still voice. And that's how the Holy Spirit speaks with us. And that's the reason that you and I must learn to turn off the competing voices from our flesh in this world. And I think there are several competing voices that we must learn to turn off. The first one is simply this. Turn off the voices of the world. Turn off the voices of the world. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John. 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Almost all the way to the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter number 4 in verses 3 through 6. Notice what the Bible said in 1 John 4, verses 3 through 6, as we think about turning off the voices of the world. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse number 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So in this passage, we find that John begins to warn the disciples about the spirits with a small s that are trying to confuse them, the spirits that are trying to hinder them. Other spirits were competing for their attentions, just like they're competing for your attention today. And the last part of verse number 6, we find that John writes these words, know ye that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We have to have wise discernment of what is being taught us in church and out of church, on the TV and on the internet. So how are we to know which spirits are of the world and which spirit is of the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer it really is found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. Notice that verse. Beloved, they are not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false spirits are gone out of the world. So as we read that verse, the command is given to you and I to try the spirits. That word try literally means this, to place them on trial. So we are to try them to see if they line up with the truth of God's word. If they do not line up with the truth of God's word, we reject them and we receive what does line up with the truth of God's word. We try them to see if they promote Jesus Christ or something else. According to 1 John 4 in verse number 2, the Bible says, hereby we know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So by the way of application, understand this, that the Holy Spirit of God complements Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit never completes with Jesus Christ. We find the Lord saying this in John 15 in verse number 26. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, notice these last words, shall testify of me. You see, the Holy Spirit complements Christ. He never competes with Jesus Christ. And in John 16, verses 13 and 14, we find these words. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And beginning of 14, we find these words, he, speaking of the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, speaking of Jesus Christ, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So the voices of the world speak of themselves, and they promote the world, and they promote a corrupt philosophy. Maybe the voices are something like this, the voices of popularity. Maybe the voices of the world are voices of pleasure or pride or perversion or power or promiscuity. And we need to know how to try those voices against the Word of God. And when you try them and you find them against God's Word, guess what we need to do? We need to turn them off and not listen to them. Well, we need to turn off the voices of of the world, but then notice something else. We need to turn off the voices of our will. The voices that come speak from the outside. The voices speak from the outside. The voice from God speaks from the inside. And oftentimes we find this to be true, that our old sinful nature will begin to speak to us. And it's that voice of that old Adamic nature. This is the voice of the old man who still lives inside of you. Even the Apostle Paul wrestled with this old man. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 7. Romans chapter number 7. We find Paul wrestling with this voice of the sinful nature, the voice that speaks from the inside, this old Adamic nature in Romans 7 and verse number 21 through verse number 24. Notice Paul's struggle. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You see, the Apostle Paul wrestled with this inward man, and he wrestled with living for the flesh and yielding himself to the Holy Spirit. It's true that our old nature will never leave us until we get to heaven someday, but it's also true that we can learn to recognize this voice, this old nature, this old flesh, and we can turn it off. In Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 13, we find these words, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit," notice these last words, "do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." You notice that phrase I emphasize, mortify the deeds of the body. So in other words, we are to force that sinful flesh to submit to the Spirit of God. The idea is simply this, that we denying, subjecting, subduing, even deadening our flesh and destroying the strength of the deeds of our bodies. The deeds of our body literally mean this. It means the evil deeds, the evil lusts and passions, the desires and urges that lead us into sin and shame and destruction and even death. And this power to mortify the evil deeds of our body only comes through the Holy Spirit of God. What we see, not only is there a turning off, but notice, secondly, there's a turning into his voice, a turning into his voice. And after we have turned off the voices that are competing against the Holy Spirit of God, you and I must learn to tune into the Spirit's small, still voice that desires to speak with us. Here are just a few ways that we can tune in to the voices of the Holy Spirit. Number one, be attentive. Number one, be attentive. I had a few people say that they just can't seem to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. No matter how hard they try, they can't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when I hear someone say that and they speak to me that, I usually reply very kindly with this back to them. Well, then you're not listening very carefully. Amen. I think that's the trouble. We become stiff-necked and hard-hearted, and we're not willing to receive what the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to us. I'm reminded in our study of Proverbs, in Proverbs 1, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, "Wisdom crieth out. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words." And Proverbs 9, and verse 3, speaking about she, or wisdom, has sent forth her maiden, and she crieth upon the high places of the city. So let's apply it to our life simply this way. I wonder how many times that you and I, as parents, have given our children instruction, and those instructions went unheard. It wasn't that we didn't speak very clearly, because no doubt we articulated our desire very well to our children. It wasn't that we as parents didn't speak loud enough, because I'm sure when you tell your child the third or fourth time, the tone of your voice tends to rise up along with the pitch of your voice. And so what is the problem? And the problem is simply this, that our children are simply not paying attention, and all they heard simply was this, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And sometimes that's the way that we get as Christians, when the Holy Spirit of God begins to speak to our heart. And Christians need to pay attention. The Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you. We must learn to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. And we should expect to hear from Him each and every day. I thought back as I penned these words down for my notes. I cannot remember one day that the Holy Spirit in some way, shape, or form has not spoken to me. Maybe it's to be a witness to someone. Maybe it's to shut my mouth. Maybe it's to get back into my Bible study a little bit more. Maybe it's to confess my sinfulness to Him. Maybe it's because of the way I spoke to Diane. I don't know. But there are at least multiple times every day the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. And listen, I'm no different than you are. Maybe you might say, well, He doesn't speak to my heart. I disagree. I believe He's speaking, that you're not hearing what He has to say. We have to tune our ears to hear that small, still voice of the Holy Spirit. I'm reminded of Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We have seven letters to the churches of Asia Minor, and all seven of those letters are a little bit different. Some really give some strong warnings. Other ones contain great reproofs for the churches, and some even have some complimentary words spoken by our Savior. But with all those differences, there's one similarity. All of them are commanded to be attentive to the Spirit. And every one of those letters, we find this statement, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." And I think that's wonderful and that's amazing. Seven times the Lord repeated Himself, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." Do you think He wanted us to get something from that passage as that word is penned down? I sure do. And I think the idea is simply this. We need to be attentive to the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit. Well, not only should we be attentive to the Spirit, but then notice, secondly, we need to be still. When we hear that voice of the Holy Spirit, we most often hear it best when we are still. And I know that you and I can't be still all the time. We have work to do. We have things that we have to do. But understand this, as the Spirit can absolutely speak to us while we're busy and while we are moving, there's something about being still while being attentive that allows the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. I'm reminded of Psalm 46 and verse 10. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And Psalm 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed," and get these last three words, "and be still." Christians ought to have a time to be still with the Lord each and every day. Maybe you call it quiet time. Maybe you call it your devotional period. I just recently been liking this idea of a still time to allow God's word to speak to my heart. Well, we ought to be still. We ought to be attentive. But notice thirdly, we ought to be patient. We need to remember this, that God is not on our timetable. We need to remember that. He's not on our timetable. God doesn't speak just because you want him to. We desire him to. We might beg him to. But listen, he doesn't speak just because we want him to. The Spirit speaks to our heart on God's timing and not our timing. And that means that we are oftentimes we find ourselves just waiting for the Lord to speak to our heart. And by the way, we don't wait because God is late. We wait because in his perfect knowledge, he's waiting for that right time to give us that answer. And when waiting on God, too many of us quit. We get worried that God is not going to give us an answer, and we begin to do things our way. And listen, when we begin to do things our way, that's when we get into big, big trouble. I think David experienced this matter of waiting on the Lord. He knew the frustration that sometimes you and I feel as we wait on God for an answer. In Psalm 13, in verse number 1, he said this, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" So here David cried out, "God, how long are you going to forget me?" You ever been to the place where you think that God has forgot you? Let me rest. You can rest assured today that God has not forgot where you are at. "How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" David said, "God," he said, "you forgot about me. You have hidden your face from me." And by the way, get this, that God did not forget David. God was not playing hide and seek with David that says, "Meet me tomorrow, meet me the next day, come find me." Not at all. God was probably teaching David a very valuable lesson by having him wait on him. And oftentimes you're waiting on God is because God is wanting to give you a very valuable lesson as well. Or sometimes God is trying to get you to align your will with his will. And sometimes we're so stubborn, it takes a long time for us to get aligned with God's will. And once we align ourselves with God's will, boom, here comes the answer. Well, we ought to be still, we ought to be attentive, we ought to be patient, but then notice something else. We ought to be in his word. Here's a valuable lesson for every Christian that every Christian needs to learn. The Holy Spirit speaks in conjunction with the word of God. Let's put it this way. When the word of God is spoken, or when the word of God is read, the Holy Spirit oftentimes magnifies or enlarges God's word to our hearts. Sometimes he tells us this. "Hey, this is for you. Right here, you, reading this. This is for you. This is for you." Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, "This is going to be a help to you. Turn right over here because this is going to be a help to you." Sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to my heart and say, "This is just what you need." When I'm done reading the passage, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in my life, I'll say, "Yes, Lord, thank you. It was just what I need." Then sometimes there's some rebuke in my life. The Holy Spirit says, "Hey, you need to change this in your life. We don't like this about you. Change this." Sometimes he might say, "Here is what you are to do." And we're praying about something. I'm yielding myself, submitting myself to God, being obedient to God in his word. And he says, "Okay, this is exactly what I want you to do." And sometimes he does this. Boy, this sometimes really gets me. He says, learn this. Understand what I'm trying to teach you. And so I understand that. Then I begin to wonder, is this for right now? Or is this for days to come? Sometimes things that we learn aren't for right now, but they're for needs and times ahead of us. And sometimes what we're learning, we're thinking, "Well, I hope I don't have to go through something like this." Listen, just because God and the Holy Spirit's teaching you and you're learning it doesn't always mean it's for you. It might be for someone else that's going through the same trial that God has just spoke to your heart about, that you could be a blessing to them, according to the book of 1 Corinthians. So let me ask you this question. The Holy Spirit method of communication is through the Word of God. And every time you're in the Word, you position yourself to hear from the Holy Spirit of God. So here's the question. When was the last time that you placed yourself in position to hear from Him? When was the last time you placed yourself in a position to hear from Him? As I jotted down the notes for this message, I put in parentheses in my notes. That's what I thought. Too often times we don't place ourselves in position to hear from Him. So understand this. If you don't place yourself in position to hear Him, don't complain about not hearing from the Holy Spirit of God when you're not in the Word of God. Amen. Ephesians 6:17 says this, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul backs it up in Ephesians 4 and verse 12 and says these words, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when you put these two Bible verses together, Ephesians 6:17 and Hebrews 4 and verse number 12, we learn that the Bible is like a surgical instrument in the hands of the Holy Spirit of God. The Word of God is a very powerful tool when it's used by the Holy Spirit. And every Christian should read their Bible every day and ask themselves to let the Holy Spirit use it to accomplish what they need most in their life. Oftentimes we come to God in a devotional period and we have problems and trials, and so we already have preconceived idea what the outcome of those trials and problems ought to be. But that's not the way we ought to come to God. We ought to come to God and say, God, would the Holy Spirit speak to my heart? Would you give me the answer that you would have me, not the answer I preconceived and the desired outcome that I want to have? Well, we need to be still. We need to be attentive. We need to be patient. We need to be in the Word. But then notice, fifthly, we need to be in His church. You see, just as the Spirit of God uses the Word to speak to us, He also uses the preached Word to speak to us. Titus 1 and verse 3, the first part of that verse says this, He hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching. So we find that the Holy Spirit speak to us through the written word, but He speak to us through the spoken word, through the preaching of the Word of God. Can you see the connection? The Holy Spirit speaks through the word, and the word is made known through the preaching of the word. Preaching is God's megaphone for His word for you and I. If you listen to a lot of Bible preaching, you have lots of opportunities to allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. But let me help you this morning. Every time you miss the preaching service at Sharon Baptist Church, you're missing a chance for the Spirit of God to speak to you. Let me just tell you how it's happened in my life. I haven't missed too many services in my life, but when I have missed for good reason, something always happens. Like five people will get saved, three baptisms, someone surrenders their life, and someone would say, boy, the preacher was hot this morning. You should have been there. Man, that the singing was honoring and glorifying the God. So you know what? I don't want to take a chance of missing the services. I want to be there each and every time. I want God to speak to my heart. Let me ask you this question. How many sessions with the Holy Spirit have you missed lately? How many sessions here at church have you missed and not allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart? You say, well, Pastor, I watch it on live stream. Thank God for that. I appreciate that. But it's not the same. You say, how do you know? Because I traveled before and watched the great preaching that takes place here while I'm gone from this pulpit. But it is not the same. There's too many distractions. Well, not only do we need to hear the Holy Spirit, we need to do something else. Secondly, we need to heed the Holy Spirit. Heed the Holy Spirit. Once we learned how to hear the Holy Spirit, we must apply what we have learned. We must learn to heed the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God. That word heed means to give serious attention to a warning or advice and take it into account when acting. It's not enough just to hear the Holy Spirit. That's important. But listen, if all we do is hear, we missed it because we're not heeding or obeying the Holy Spirit. I like the way James puts it in James chapter 1 and verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Then in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, Paul writes these words. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So yielding yourself to God involves more than just hearing. it involves heeding. You say, well, how can we heed the Spirit of God? Well, we should, number one, we should heed his warnings. I want you to think back to the seven churches that we spoke about in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Previously, I have said that the Holy Spirit taught us to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. And some of those seven churches were also told about the coming judgments if they didn't heed the warning. Here's two examples. In Revelation 2:5, Christ said this, "Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works." And notice this, "Or else I will come unto thee quickly, I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." In Revelation 2:16, he says, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth." I want you to understand, to see how important it is this morning to heed the Spirit's warning. He's serious about the consequences of ignoring the warnings that come. It's great that we're here, but if all we hear and we don't heed, we missed out on it. Well, we need to heed the warnings, but notice something else. We need to heed the leadings. Failure to heed the leadings of the Holy Spirit is going to result in us going in the wrong direction. The Spirit will always lead us down the right path. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 4 and verse number 11, the Bible said, "I have taught thee in a way of wisdom. I have led thee in a right path." But our flesh will always lead us down the wrong path. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So when we choose to go our own way and not the pathway of the leading of the Holy Spirit, guess what? We go down a very destructive path that will only cause us pain and sorrow. What we need to heed is warnings. We need to heed his leadings, but notice thirdly, we need to heed his convicting. Heed his convicting. One result of not heeding the Holy Spirit is simply that our conscience will begin to come numb to the working of the Holy Spirit. And what a terrible thing that is when something like that happens. This numbness happens when we continually fail to heed his convicting sin inside of our life. In 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, we find these words. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience," notice these words, "seared with a hot iron." Paul was simply saying this. He was saying that their consciences, which at one time would have been convicted of their sinfulness, now doesn't even respond when the Holy Spirit speaks to their hearts. It's as if the nerve endings of their conscience have been burned over, or they've been deadened to any type of feeling as God convicts our hearts. They're completely past feeling any kind of movement from the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 43, "Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." And the writer of Proverbs 28 and verse 14 says this, "Happy is a man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." So you and I ought to heed the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God. We ought to heed his warnings. We ought to heed his leadings. Then notice, fourthly, we ought to heed his teaching. I want you to consider this Bible principle that's found in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. The Bible says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whosoever much is given, of whom shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask more." To put it quite plainly, it's simply this. When God gives you something, he holds you accountable for it. It's true with everything that the Holy Spirit teaches you. And so one day, you and I are going to be held accountable for what you've been taught, and for what you have been learned, and what you have heeded, and what you have not heeded from the Holy Spirit, and from the preaching of the Word of God. So I think it'd be wise for all of us, you and I together, to heed all that the Spirit has taught for you and I. So as we close this morning and move on to our baptismal service, the full power of the Holy Spirit is available to every believer by us yielding to Him. This yielding requires two things. First of all, it requires hearing the small, still voice of the Lord. And then it's by heeding or obeying what He asks you to do. So the question for you as we close, as we have our invitation in just a moment, will you receive all that God's Spirit has for you today by yielding to Him? First of all, this morning, for your salvation, is God through the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart about your need to be saved? Maybe that small, still voice of God is pricking your heart this morning, and He's saying something like this: this was for you. This is what you need. This is your problem. Trust in Me. Receive My Son as your personal Savior, and I'll become, and you'll become, a child of God. And then after salvation, how about for sanctification, our continued growth process in Christ? We'll never grow to be what we need to be in Christ unless we are yielded to the Holy Spirit. Would you yield to Him today, Christians, in your life? Let's pray.